from J.N. Darby's Collected Writings, volume number 16. The first article is entitled, How to Know the Will of the Father. If a child habitually neglected its father and did not take the trouble of knowing his mind and will, it is easy to foresee that, when a difficulty presented itself, this child would not be in circumstances to understand what would please its parent. There are certain things which God leaves in generalities, in order that the state of the individual's soul may be proved. If, instead of the case I have supposed of a child, it were a question of a wife towards her husband, it is probable that, if she had the feelings and mind of a wife, she would not hesitate a moment as to knowing what would be agreeable to him. And this where he had expressed no positive will about the matter. Now you cannot escape this trial. God will not allow his children to escape it. If thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. People would like a convenient and comfortable means of knowing God's will, as one might get a recipe for anything. But there exists no means of ascertaining it without reference to the state of our soul. Moreover, we are often of too much importance in our own eyes, and we deceive ourselves in supposing some will of God in such or such a case. God perhaps has nothing to tell us thereon, the evil being altogether in the stir we give ourselves. The will of God is perhaps that we should take quietly an insignificant place. Further, we sometimes seek God's will, desiring to know how to act in circumstances in which his only will is that we should not be found at all, and where, if conscience were really in activity, its first effect would be to make us leave them. It is our own will which sets us there. And we should like, nevertheless, to enjoy the comfort of being guided of God in a path which we ourselves have chosen. Such is a very common case. Be assured that, if we are near enough to God, we shall not be at a loss to know his will. In a long and active life, it may happen that God, in his love, may not always at once reveal his will to us, that we may feel our dependence, particularly where the individual has a tendency to act according to his own will. However, if thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. Whence it is certain that, if the whole body is not full of light, the eye is not single. You will say, that is poor consolation. I answer, it is rich consolation for those whose sole desire is to have the eye single and to walk with God. Not, so to speak, to avoid this trouble in learning his will objectively, but whose desire is to walk with God. If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him. It is always the same principle. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. You cannot exempt yourself from this moral law of Christianity. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Colossians 1, 9 and 10. The mutual connection of these things is of immense importance for the soul. The Lord must be known intimately if one would walk in a way worthy of Him. And it is thus that we grow in the knowledge of God's will. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ. Philippians 1, 9 and 10. Finally, it is written that the spiritual man judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. It is then the will of God, and a precious will, that we should be able to discern it only according to our own spiritual state. In general, when we think that we are judging circumstances, it is God who is judging us, who is judging our state. Our business is to keep close to Him. God would not be good to us if He permitted us to discover His will without that. It might be convenient just to have a director of consciences, and we should thus be spared the discovery and the chastisement of our moral condition. Thus, if you seek how you may discover the will of God without that, you are seeking evil. And it is what we see every day. One Christian is in doubt, in perplexity. Another, more spiritual, sees as clear as the day, and he is surprised, sees no difficulty, and ends by understanding that it lies only in the other's state of soul. He that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off. As regards circumstances, I believe that a person may be guided by them. Scripture has decided that. It is what is meant by being held in with bit and bridle, whereas the promise and privilege of him who has faith is, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. Psalm 32:8. God, who is faithful, has given the promise of directing us thus, near enough to God to understand by a single glance from Him. He warns us not to be as the horse and the mule, which have no understanding of the will, thoughts, or desires of their master. It is needful to hold them in with bit and bridle. Doubtless, even that is better than to stumble, fall, and run counter to Him who holds us in. But it is a sad state, and such it is to be guided by circumstances. Undoubtedly, too, it is merciful on God's part so to act, but very sad on ours. Here, however, there must be a distinction drawn between judging what one has to do in certain circumstances and being guided by them. He who allows himself to be guided by them always acts in the dark as to knowing the will of God. There is absolutely nothing moral in it. It is an external force that constrains. Now it is very possible that I may have no judgment beforehand of what I shall do. I know not what circumstances may arise, and consequently I can make no resolutions. But the instant the circumstances are there, I judge with a full and divine conviction what is the path of God's will and of the Spirit's intention and power. That demands the highest degree of spirituality. It is not to be directed by circumstances, but to be directed by God in them, being near enough to God to be able to judge immediately what one ought to do as soon as the circumstances are there. One person may not have enough spiritual discernment to discover what is right. But the moment another shows it to him, he understands that it is the truth. All are not engineers, but a simple wagoner knows a good road when it is made. Again, the case should never exist of a person acting without knowing the will of God. The only rule that can be given is never to act when we do not know what is the Lord's will. The will of God ought to be the motive as well as the rule of our conduct, and until His will is in activity, there is an absence of any true motive for ours. If you act in ignorance in this respect, you are at the mercy of circumstances. However, God may turn all to the good of His children, but why act when we are ignorant what His will is? Is the necessity of acting always so extremely pressing? If I do something with the full certainty that I am doing the will of God, it is clear that an obstacle is no more than a test of my faith, and it ought not to stop me. It stops us, perhaps, through our lack of faith, because if we do not walk sufficiently near to God in the sense of our nothingness, we shall lack faith to accomplish what we have faith enough to discern. When we are doing our own will or are negligent in our walk, God in His mercy may warn us by a hindrance which arrests us if we pay attention to it, whilst the simple pass on and are punished. If any particular question is raised, which at the first blush we cannot solve, we shall find that often there would be no such question there at all if our position were not false, if we had previously been in a good state of soul, and a true spirituality had guarded and kept us. In that case, all we have to do is to humble ourselves for the whole affair. Now, let us examine whether Scripture does not present some principles suitable to direct us. Here, evidently, spirituality is the essential thing, is everything. The rule that we should do what Jesus would have done in such and such a circumstance is excellent, where and when it can be applied. But are we often in the circumstances where the Lord was found? In the next place, it is often useful to ask myself, whence comes such a desire of mine, or such a thought of doing this or that? I have found that this alone decides more than half of the difficulties that Christians meet with. The rest of those which remain are the result of our haste or of our former sins. If a thought comes from God and not from the flesh, then we have only to address ourselves to God as to the manner and means of executing it, and we shall soon be directed. If it be asked, but if it is no question either of love or of obedience, then I answer that you ought to show me a reason for acting. For if it is nothing but your own will, you cannot make the wisdom of God bend to your will. Therein also is the source of another numerous class of difficulties that God will never solve. In these cases, He will, in His grace, teach obedience and will show us how much time we have lost in our own activity. Finally, the meek will He guide in judgment, and the meek will He teach His way. For the rest, remember that the wisdom of God conducts us in the way of God's will. If our own will is in activity, God cannot bend to that. That is the essential thing to discover. It is the secret of the life of Christ. Be assured that God does more in us than we for Him, and that what we do is only for Him in proportion as it is He Himself who works it in us.